us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the midst of the coronavirus global pandemic threatening our health and threatening the global economy, they say that at the end of all this, the global economy would have been affected by at least over $1 trillion would have been knocked off the economy. Ultimately, it's threatening our lives and life as we know it. It is spreading in every continent, and case numbers continue to rise. We now have over 2.4 million cases and nearly 162,000 people that have lost their lives. The Lord Jesus comes in the midst of all this, and he says these words, comforting words, peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's easy to become frightened, burdened, and frustrated at times. It's easy to be cynical in these uncertain and difficult times, like the disciples were here. The Lord Jesus came to them and said, peace be with you. And he says to us today, in the midst of this COVID-19, peace be with you. The story of Thomas' encounter with the risen Lord gives us incredible amount of comfort for two specific reasons. One is, Jesus gave his disciples the most precious gift, the gift of peace, that inner calmness in times of hardship. The second is the revelational truth that Thomas had. And Lisa, you read the lesson so well. Thank you so much. In fact, when I grow up, I think I want to be like you. Listen to these words again. A week later, his disciples were in the house, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. So firstly, let us look closely at the gift of peace. Three times in this passage, Jesus said, peace be with you. Of course, the first two times, Thomas was not there. He was absent. And the third time, Thomas is present. Now watch this. We don't initiate peace with Jesus by our actions at all. He initiates peace with us because of his love. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ demonstrated his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ Jesus came and he died for us. The Bible also tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Christ, through his love, initiates peace with us. Before we fully realize our purpose in life, before we discover God's blueprint, his master plan, his intention for our lives, before we experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to be at one with God. We need to be at one with self and others. And indeed, we need to be at one with the rest of God's created world. We need to be at peace with Adonai. See the order in which these gifts come. It's important to note this. The peace that Jesus gave us comes before any realization of God's purpose in our lives, any realization of that master plan upon our lives, and before our empowerment to do actions and exploits that are pleasing. Only Jesus can initiate the peace, that inner calm, the quiet confidence, that total contentment in us that is beyond all knowledge and all understanding. Our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished this peace whilst at Calvary. Those who follow the Orthodox tradition will be celebrating their resurrection today. And of course, we celebrated ours last Sunday. Jesus on the cross accomplished salvation for us. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. I am the one who died. I am the one who you abandoned, and I am the one who was pierced for your transgressions. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And the reasons I can offer you peace is because my blood I have covered you, because my blood has covered you and has covered all your sins. How do we receive this peace? We do it by asking the risen Savior into our lives. Therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Romans 5, verse 1. That's what Jesus offers you here, peace with God. You can receive it today, and guess what? It is free because Jesus Christ paid for it all. Now, I want us, as we consider the second reason for why we should take comfort in the words of Jesus here, I want us to pause for a minute and just reflect quietly. So the second reason then for our comfort is the revelational truth that Thomas discovered. Hear these words again. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." How gracious, how considerate, how obliging, how loving of the Lord to invite him to do so. He does not reprimand Thomas or punish him because of his unbelief and stubbornness, but graciously he invites him to do what Thomas had asked. But one touch is enough. There comes flooding into the heart of this doubting disciple a realization of how foolish and stubborn he had been, not to believe solid evidence. He confesses it immediately with these words, recognizing both, on one hand, the sovereignty of the Lord, and on the other hand, the deity of Jesus. He said, "My Lord and my God." That is the revelation of truth. Thomas does not only believe Jesus is alive, he believes that Jesus is indeed God. Immediately, Jesus looks beyond the people in that room on that day, down through all the centuries, and says to Thomas, "You believe because you saw, but a whole host of people who will never see what you have seen are going to believe, because they hear solid eyewitness accounts, trustworthy in every respect." Every single one of you is included in that. And so are the 2.2 billion believers around the world who have joined in with us to worship our God, the Most High God. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Here at this very moment is a blessing upon us from our risen Lord. He is present in our midst, blessing us because we believe on the basis of the evidence without seeing. Now, let me conclude. You'll be glad to know that I'm going to conclude right here. We are in a period between the death and the resurrection of our Lord, the death of our Lord and his resurrection and Pentecost. Our Lord Jesus died for us to give us freedom, freedom from guilt, freedom from punishment. We are secure in his merciful favor, even in these uncertain times. Now listen to this. I came across this this week. The promise of the kingdom is not that we shall escape the hard things, but that we shall be given grace to face them, to enter into them, and to come through them. The promise is not that we shall not be afraid. I was listening to Nikki Gumbel last week, and he was saying the more he watches the news, the more fear overwhelms him. But the more he stays away from the news and focuses on the Lord, the more peace and comfort he gets. So listen to this. The promise is not that we shall not fear or shall not be afraid. It is that we need not to fear. This is from Esther DeWall, Listening with Contradiction. Now, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, pioneered an initiative called Thy Kingdom Come. It's a global wave of prayer, calling all Christians to pray between Ascension and Pentecost for more people to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be called again this year to pray between the 21st of May to the 31st of May. But actually, we don't have to just limit it to 5 people or just to pray in that time period allotted, although we must pray and join others. But let us choose 5 people that we know are not in the faith and would love to see them come to faith. And during this campaign, pray for them so that they might receive the gift of peace. And indeed, so that they might have this revelational truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's our master. He's our Lord. He's our God. Our God reigns indeed. He reigns in verbia. He reigns around the world. He reigns in our lives. He is truly our Lord and our God, the God of peace. May God bless you. Amen.